Dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you that you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And whether it is Hurricane Sandy or just enjoying time with our family and friends, that there is nothing too big for you, nor is there anything too small for you. And so God, today as we go to the Word, sometimes it's intimidating, sometimes it's confusing. We ask for your help. Jesus, you said that you'd send the Holy Spirit to guide us in truth. And I pray that your Spirit would open the Bible to us, help it to be alive and real, and help us to get something out of this, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we have been in a series called Fresh Start, and about your salvation. And today's message is one that really does not stand on its own. And so if you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, I apologize. You're going to want to listen to those previous messages, because some of what we talk about today will not fully make sense, will not be completely meaningful to you without the other two messages. I apologize. It's not very often during the year is it like that. But you can listen to those messages on our website, cbcbaltimore.com, or on iTunes. It's free. It's available to you all the time, anytime. Hey, all right. So that's free. We want to make sure that you know that. Fresh start. What are we talking about here? Well, Jesus introduces a word picture, John chapter 3 and verse 3, when he says, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. If we literally translate what he says there with born again, born from above. And so we've been talking about that spiritual transformation of salvation. And this has been our text, this passage from Titus. When God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Important. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Can you say amen to God's word? Amen. Amen. That means I agree. You can talk in this church. It's all right. So fresh start, salvation, plain English, Pastor Ben, please. What does this mean? A second chance at life by turning away from our sin and turning to Jesus. That's a repentance definition, right? Jesus says, repent or you will perish. I turn away from the direction I was going. I turn away from my sin and I turn toward him. By turning away from our sin and turning to Jesus, we are provided an opportunity to be new. I love my mom. This is a new shirt. Have you know what it feels like when you put on something new? Doesn't it just feel different? Right? Get the groove on right there. So something about new clothes. It just does something for you. I don't know why all these people are trying to buy 30-year-old clothes. I don't understand that. At CBC Baltimore, there are no perfect people allowed, and we all need a fresh start. Yeah. Right? Now, let's dig a little deeper. Bible definition. To cause to be completely reformed or improved. To reestablish on a new basis. It is a new beginning, a creative act of God. It is a spiritual rebirth, a spiritual renovation, renewal, recreation, restoration of things to an intended state. You've got to think back to the beginning of the story with the Garden of Eden, right? What was God's original plan? What was his original plan for you in relationship with you? Now, today we're going to look at put off the old, put on the new. Last week we were in Colossians chapter 3, and I want to start with the verse right before, kind of going back before what we talked about last week. Colossians 3 verse 10, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Well, Pastor Ben, that is strange. Yes, I know. So let's pause, slow down a little bit, and try to process what we're talking about. Now, we've been talking about salvation, this fresh start, this mysterious, really, because it is a spiritual thing, creative act of God that happens suddenly in us, right? Where we experience forgiveness of sin and a complete and total change of our eternal destiny, right? Now let's do a little Q&A. We do this sometimes. So talk to me a little bit. What does your salvation mean to you? Anybody? I'm forgiven. That's right. Somebody else? Okay, I've got a personal relationship with God. I've got access to God. It's a personal thing. Yeah, Romans 8:1, no condemnation. I'm in Jesus. I'm not put down because of my past. Freedom. Well, that's a beautiful word right there. I have freedom. I'm not in slavery. I'm not in bondage. I'm not in chains. Anyone else? Yes? Eternal life. Right? I can look forward to life being one with God, the only source of love, hope, peace, and joy forever. Daniel?
I'm fixed and I have the opportunity to continue being fixed.
That's good. I'm fixed and I have the opportunity to continue to be fixed. Right? That means God does it. God reaches out to me. He heals me. He makes me right. Right, we've talked about that Bible word righteousness, which means in right relationship with God and in right relationship with each other. Right? Why are we doing this? Why am I doing this series on salvation? This is like Christianity 101. Are we all convinced already, Pastor Ben? What is your deal? Well, I've been in this thing for a little while. In this trying to pursue God thing. And I know that you need to have a safe place where it's okay for you to ask hard questions. And I mean hard questions like, is life with Jesus really good? Or are we just pretending? Is this the Stepford Wives? Right? Is this all for pretend? Right? Is life with Jesus really good? You need to have a safe place to ask that question. And if I don't crack open topics like this, we're not going to grow. And I'm not here to put on a show. I'm not here just to do exercises. I'm not here to try to build a reputation or, Lord knows, make any money. Right? The point is that God wants us to understand our salvation and to grow in our faith. That's what this church is all about. That's why our big three, connect, grow, share. That's why we're here to help you connect with the God of the Bible. We're here to help you grow in your faith because we know that if you connect with the God of the Bible, that's not an empty thing. It's not a dry thing. It is a thing that's full of life. It connects you with real power where you really can say, life with Jesus is good. On the real. Right? You know what I'm saying? Life with Jesus is good. I want to get you to a place where you are curious again about your salvation, where you're going back to your Bible, you're going back to your journal, you're spending time to sit down and think about and put pen to paper and carve out time to process what does my salvation really mean to me? What does that say about God? What does it say about me? Because your salvation, it speaks to you. Do you hear me? Your salvation speaks to you. You should be at a place, and really, honestly, the only way that I can do life, the life that is before me as a husband, as a father, in any sort of way that is successful, is by carving out time to be with God by myself, for myself, so that my salvation, my Savior, speaks to me. So that I feel a lift, so that I literally am so aware of what salvation, my forgiveness of sins, my freedom, the fact that I am fixed and that He did it, not because I am good. Those things need to mean something to me personally. And when they mean something to me personally, my life experiences that lift. I experience that swell that pulls me up. You know why the Ravens are sometimes beat by the Browns? Because the Browns are always terrible. And what sometimes happens is the Ravens sometimes have immature players that will play down to the level of their competition. I know this as a Trailblazer fan, right? This is what the Trailblazers always do. right? We're going to play a bad team so that week in practice we don't work that hard. Our intensity is not up. Some of you are not sports fans. It's okay. We'll move on. You should spend enough time investigating your salvation and what it really means to build your spirit up, to increase your understanding, to inspire you afresh. Because when you plug into God, the power that is always available to you, the things in life that put a drag on you no longer have power over you. Are you with me? Right? There is a connection that has to occur. Now, this is one of those iceberg messages. Okay? I do this, if you're paying attention, more often than not. And here's what I mean by that. I'm going to lightly and quickly go over some things that there are much more beneath the surface of what I'm going to say than what I am going to say. And if you are a believer, there should be for seekers and new believers and mature believers alike in today's message, something for everyone. Are you paying attention? All right, something for everyone. And you should write down some of these references and you should dig down into some of these chapters of the Bible. But we're going to move quickly as we talk about putting off the old and putting on the new. It's a Bible concept. So this is an iceberg message. So pay attention. This is a great Sunday to be taking notes. All right. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this: let God transform you. Now, this is really important. It means that you are not trying to make it happen by yourself. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That sounds kind of weird. I don't know if I want to let that happen to me. Well, how's your thinking working out for you? Really? Not so good. It's time to replace our stinking thinking with right thinking. Right? I've got to let God transform me into a new person by changing the way that I think. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 23. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him. Right? Now, listen, this is really important. And this is how we started off last Sunday as well. None of this will work if you're not saved. If you're not born again the way Jesus talked about. If you're not at a place of having experienced new birth, this will not work. You will always fail. And there does come a time, like we talked about last Sunday, where I have to stop and ask the question, am I attending an event thinking that it makes me a Christian? Are you with me? This is, we want everyone to come and attend the event, right? Sunday, by all means. But that does not make you a part of the church. Right. It does not make you a believer. Right. I do a bad job not talking enough about the invite cards that we have. We have those things. They're right there on the table, and they're out here in the theater all the time so that you can invite your friends, and I think you should. Right? I encourage attendance. But we cannot confuse attendance with salvation. And what we're talking about today in putting off the old and putting on the new is not something you can do until after you are born again. Are you with me? Okay. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. No one in this room, I'm sure. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Oh, hello. Getting personal now. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. This sounds like a real change. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. 1 John 1, 8 and 9. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Now, You're already looking a little concerned, so let me illustrate this just a little more. Okay? It's literally, right? I got to put off the old and put on the new. Right? I got this right, Josh? Right? Okay? I got to put off the old to put on the new. I got to put off the old to put on the new. Are you getting the point? You can't put on the new till you've put off the old. Right? And I don't know if you're anything like me. Sometimes what you like to do with the old is like, man, that old is, it's comfy. It feels good. It's a part of my identity. It's a part of who I am. So I'm going to put off the old and put on the new. Am I the only one? No, I put off the old to put on the new. No, that's not what he's saying. I got to put off the old to put on the new. And then the next day I wake up and I'm like, I'm right back there, man. Whew! Are you getting my point? Right? I can't have both. You just look foolish. Now, I've been there before. I've looked foolish like that before for the poor people listening on audio. I'm playing around with Orioles hats, old ones and new ones. So, if I'm going to put on the new, it is a miracle of God, not me. And it is a miracle of God, but yet it is a miracle of God that I am involved with. There is no, I've said this before, I'll say this again, there is zero biblical pattern for passive learning. Let me say that again because it was really good. There is zero biblical pattern for passive learning. We receive salvation and then it's time to do something with it. Right? I've got to digest it. I've got to process it. I have to take it and I have to apply it. I put off the old so I can put on the new. It's time for us to live a life that is way more than being known for what we don't do. That was good. It is time for us to live much more of a life. That's what God wants for us. Than to be known for what we don't do. Come on. Do you think that God, who created the world, who carved out the deep of the ocean, carved the height of the mountains, the splendor of His majesty, the intricacies of the God who said, you know, that land looks like it needs trees, and I'm going to make that tree and that tree and that tree and that tree and this bird and that bird and that squirrel. That God would want you to live a life that's all about what you don't do? Your God is too small. Your God is too small. He's depressing. No wonder you feel that way. Now listen, I'm talking to myself. I have felt that way myself before. But in this new life, as Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, we have a new beginning. We have a fresh start. Right? Now, I don't know if you have ever found yourself or come to a point of realization that whatever your issue is, whatever your past hurt, whatever your past issue, that you have come to a place of self-medicating. I tend to self-medicate because I tend to not go to the doctor. Ben, take two of these and call me in the morning. Now, what we tend to do, any of us, with issues that we have in our life, is self-medicate. Can we just be real? Right? Now, I don't care if it is an addiction to getting blitzed or lust or stealing or gluttony, plenty of that in the church, or whatever. All of these things at some point can become an addiction. Here's one definition of an addiction. Any compulsive habitual behavior that limits the freedom of human desire. It's actually pretty close to a Bible definition. Because, see, God wants you to live a life of freedom. Iceberg. That means that we are not called to live a life of addiction where we are enslaved to things that we crave. Now, Bill W., who's accredited with the 12 steps of AA, actually quite clearly says that those were written from directly from his pastor, Pastor Sam Shoemaker. And I think that there is something on this topic of put off the old and put on the new that we can learn from a Bible, don't worry, I'm not going crazy, a Bible truth from the 12 steps of AA, and I think this is going to help you, okay? My name is Ben. I'm an addict.
Hi, Ben.
Thank you, okay. So let's 12-step it real quick. I want to read to you the 12 steps from AA. Step number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Some of you, whether it is anxiety about money, pornography addiction, stealing, putting other people down verbally so that you can feel better about yourself. Some of you have addictions that are self-medicating. Scratch that. All of us have addictions that are self-medicating. We need to start with admitting we are powerless over them by ourselves, right? Without God, we are powerless over them, right? Step number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. You've got to believe that God can really do this in your life. Hello? Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Like, you don't have to have it all figured out just to say, God, I need you. You don't have to go to 4 years of Bible college, seminary, whatever. You don't have to fully understand the God of the Bible to just say, God, I give up, I need you. Hello? Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. This is something that I think, unfortunately, because of the imbalances of the confessional booth in the rest of the Christian church, has gone too far the other direction. There's not enough of us stopping, sitting down, writing everything out, and getting really honest. You can't have honest life change until you've had honest life confession. Right? A searching, fearless moral inventory of ourselves. That's Bible. That's straight out of the Bible. Step number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, we've talked before about small groups, running partners, etc., the exact nature of our wrongs. God has wired us for relationship. He's wired us to help each other. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. There is a help that you can find in that sort of confession. Step number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all the defects of character. In a previous series, we talked a little bit about how easy it is to pick back up our addictions, right? You've got to be ready to drop it. Step number seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. When Jesus says, repent or you will perish, what He talks about over and over and over, and in John chapter 3 as well, is a calling out to God. Ask God humbly, completely, honestly for help. Right? Step number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Amends, restitution, restoration, those are actually Bible concepts. Step number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. You need to pay somebody back, not in a, you know, smacking them, but I mean, you need to pay them money, you know, whatever it is. You need to make amends, right? Step number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. Life change like this is very rarely a sudden and immediate thing. Do you know, God knows us, right? He knows that if He did that for you, you'd be right back in the dog mess you were in before. And that's what sin is like dog mess, right? The Bible says, you know, like somebody returning, dog returning to its vomit, right? Sin is written about in those kind of terms, right? We are all in that place. God knew that if He just immediately took everything away, every desire, He immediately completely healed you, you'd be right back in it because you wouldn't need Him except once a month. That's why he puts us into a healing process, a strengthening process that brings us to a place of being dependent upon him. Because that's what it's really all about. It's not about you dressing nice and looking good and paying your taxes and your tithe and offering and all that other stuff and showing everybody that you're a better person. And getting that job and getting that house and being that person. That's not what it's about. That's not God's purpose for your life. His purpose for your life, he says, I came to give you life and that to the full. So yes, a full life, but what does that mean? He is constantly reaching out to us for a relationship with us where we speak to him, where we listen to him, where there is an exchange, where we are dependent upon him. And in that relationship with him, there, yes, there are side effects. But the relationship with him is the point. That is your taste of heaven, not the new car. Too real? Your relationship, finding peace and joy in God, that is your taste of heaven. So it's a continual process. It's something we continually have to go to and have to have a commitment to. Step number 11, sought through prayer. And this is direct quotes from the AA 12 steps for most of you that are in this room that have not been in an AA meeting. Sought through prayer and medication to improve our conscious contact with God. Sorry, that's supposed to be meditation. Typo on my part. It's correct in these notes, but that is a typo. I apologize. AA people would be suing me. Sought through prayer and meditation, which there is biblical meditation that I think we are sadly ignorant of that would be really helpful to you. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. There's no red pill, blue pill after the service. Praying only for the knowledge of his will and the power to carry it out. That's good, isn't it? Right? I'm seeking God on a regular, constant basis to understand him, to get to know him better and his will and what he has for us and the continued strength to carry out the change that he's given us. Step number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Oh, that Christians would have the same commitment. Now, if you want to read a little bit further, a good Christian book that I do recommend, Keith Miller wrote a book called A Hunger for Healing. The 12 Steps is a classic model for Christian spiritual growth. It could help you. Maybe you have a friend that won't come to church, but they've got a pornography addiction, a alcohol addiction, a abuse of any medication. A lot of people abusing pills these days. Tobacco, whatever it is, you got somebody that you know has an addiction. Great place to start here. Many ways to do it, of course, but just one recommendation that I want to leave you with. Now, Pastor Ben, what do we do about this? How do we walk this out? This is very cute of you with the hats, put off the old, put on the new. How do we walk out this Bible idea? Well, James has a great recommendation for us. James chapter 4, verse 16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. How do we come boldly to the throne of God? Well, we do it on Sunday mornings, and you should do it in your private time. See, Jesus speaks of this, but functionally he also did for us. He made a way for us to come to God without having to go to the temple in Jerusalem. Are you aware of this? Jesus made a way that we can come to God directly without having to go to the temple in Jerusalem. He made a way. Now, as your pastor, I would that you would all come. We have prayer before we start church at 10 o'clock, but that you would come every Sunday, be here ready to go at 10 to dive into worship, not because I like the room to be full, but because we don't waste a minute. We try to do church every Sunday, 90 minutes on the dot. Why do we do that? We prepare hard because we know you've got a lot going on in your week, and we want to make it the best way possible for you to get the most out of God you can possibly get every week. That starts at 10 o'clock, not at 10:30. Now, I know a time change of people, we have a lot of people extenuating circumstances today. I'm not trying to get on you about that. I'm trying to explain. When I come to the throne of God, the easiest way for me to do that is on Sunday morning with other people that are also doing the same thing. We do that on Sunday morning. We start with a verse of Scripture at 10 o'clock. Some of you have never heard that. And we go right into singing and singing words that mean something. And we do it in such a way. Let me tell you something else. I've had many, many, many Sundays in my life that I didn't go to church. Many, many more Sundays that I did come to church way late. Many, many Sundays where I had no clue that it made a difference. But I can tell you that the Sundays that I came where my spirit was prepared for the meeting and I was on time and I threw myself into singing and thinking about my God, I experienced the power of His presence. I came before the throne of the living God and I experienced real change. What I'm not talking about is quaking and shaking and falling down and flopping around like a fish on the floor. What I am talking about is real life change in me. I can bring you people that knew me in my old life that would tell you how in my personality, in my vocabulary, in how I even look and how I dress, I was different before the power of the living God changed me. I am now more at peace. I am now more full of God's joy, which is not a human emotion. Emotion that fades. I am now more resolved and able to handle financial ups and downs and storms and power outages and all kind of crazy things. I am now more readily available, ready to experience death and loss and the difficult things in this life because of what God did in me. And it started on Sunday mornings when it was easiest for me to seek God with other people. And then from there, it became me trying on my own. I'm not a musician. I am not a singer. This is obvious. It came to a point where in my own room, I would get down on my face in the carpet and put on a worship CD and pray in my spiritual language and dig deep into God's presence and call out to Him and tell Him about the hard things that I was going through and ask Him boldly for help and cry out to Him. That is when I experienced the very real presence of the living God that began to slowly change my outlook on life. It started in a moment, but it continued to significant life change over a period of time. And over a period of time where I would carve out time out of my schedule to get on my face before the living God and say, God, I give up. I can't do it. I need You. I can't do this life change thing. I need You. And when I spent time that way, that's when the change was significant. And that's when it was real, and that's when it was lasting. That's when my addictions of old no longer held me. And over a period of time, people said to me, "You're not the same person." When stuff comes up, you don't respond. You don't react the way that you used to react. I'm talking about significant life change where all of a sudden I am a different person that over this, not all of a sudden, over this period of time, this change is growing and developing me because I have more of God, more of an understanding of my salvation, more time in His presence, and less time trying to do it myself. You see, the more time I spend with God, the less mistakes I make with people. The less time I spend with God, the more mistakes I make with people. So let us come boldly. This is James, one of the elders, pastors in the church in Jerusalem, writes to us, the biological brother of Jesus, a companion of Jesus. He understands. If anyone could have doubted the divinity of Jesus, it would have been James. But James believed in the divinity of Jesus. He set aside intellect, reason that brought doubt. He realized that God did not lay out for us empirical data of every little thing to prove the existence of God, because God wanted us to come to a place where we needed to declare our dependence upon Him, where we needed needed to declare a spiritual step of faith where we needed to make the final step to say, yes, I believe. It is that James that writes, so let us come boldly to the throne of the gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. God knew that you would find yourself in a place of need. Jesus Himself said, Matthew 5, verse 3, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. That's Jesus talking. Jesus died for your humanity, not for you all fixed up. Jesus died for you broken. Open up your Bible. Dig deep into His presence. So what do? You know me, I grew up in the church, so I always ask, say, so what? Right? So what? Okay, so what do we do about it? How do we take these steps to put off the old and put on the new? Be humble. You can't make life change without humility. You know, the kung fu movies always say, you know, can't fill a cup that is full, or I forget the quote, something like that. Be humble. You have to come with humility. You have to empty yourself like Nicodemus did in John chapter 3. Ask for grace and help. I cannot ask for you. You have to ask God for grace and help for you. Receive it. Some of us ask and then we won't receive it. We won't fully digest it. We won't apply God's grace to all the areas of our life. Be humble, ask for grace and help, receive it, and then take action. Faith without works is dead. Eventually, there is a result, right, that comes from the inside, not from you trying to prove something. Are you with me? Take action, start something new, right? Fill your life, your time, whatever time, energy, money that you used to spend on your old way of life, your old addictions, your old self-medicating, replace that with something different. If you don't, even Jesus said when He cast a demon out of a person, they will be worse than they were before. If you don't replace it with something new, you will be worse than you were before. Take action. Start something new. New life is possible through Jesus and life-giving relationships. Look around this room. No, seriously, look around this room. See, there are people around you that can provide you with life-giving relationships. Since we moved here to Baltimore over 2 years ago, I've heard a lot of people talk a lot of bad stuff about what their past church was like, life was like. Most of them having moved from other states and whatnot. Here's what I know. Most of what they have said to me would be fixed if most of the people in every church would live this way and would throw themselves into it completely and actually love each other. It works if you work it. It does. It works if you work it. Close your eyes with me just for one moment, please. I want you to think about the person in your life, the human, not God, not Jesus. I want you to think about the person in your life that you love the most. I want you to think about the person you love the most, and I want you to think about how you feel about them. I want you to feel it. Feel that love that you have for the person you love the most. Now, I want you to look at me. God loves you more than that. God loves you more than that. You're not here on accident. God has you here on purpose. God has you here on purpose. God has you around the other people in this room on purpose. Because He loves you more than that. Will you stand with me and we'll close in prayer? I'm sorry, I'm 2 minutes over. If you would like prayer today, please feel free to come forward after I close in prayer, and we'll be happy to pray with you. We have some refreshments just outside this door behind me to the right. Please feel free, and we want to be, when we exit today, please hang out as long as you want, enjoy the hot drinks and food that we have available today. But when we exit, we want to exit out the coffee shop doors, not out the movie theater doors, please. God loves you. He brought you here on purpose. And I just want to close in prayer. And if you would like prayer today, please feel free to come forward and be happy to pray for you today. God, I thank you for your great love for us. I thank you that you even give us this advice of putting off the old and putting on the new. But God, I thank you that it wouldn't be possible if it were not for the salvation that you initiated in our life. And it would not be possible if it were not for you enabling us, giving us the ability to see this change through. God, I know it's so easy to be discouraged. It's so easy to think that it's not possible. But God, I pray that today you'd heal our faith. Give us strength to believe that this is possible through the power of the living God. I thank you for the change that you're doing among us and for how you are growing this church into what you want it to be. Just pray a blessing on everyone represented here and those that could not be here, some out of state today. Just bless them with your peace and joy, God, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. So glad to see everyone here today. Please do feel free to come forward to the front if you'd like prayer. Give somebody a hug this morning.